Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. Be Lord over my life. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the flood of the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. This is the warfare hour. You have tuned in to the warfare hour. For the earth is the Lord's, and he is the King of glory, the Lord of hosts. That means the Lord of the armies, the Lord of the armies, the Lord of warriors. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. We are the warfare hour. You have tuned in to Apostle Carlton, Earl Clark Richardson, and Prophet Corey Braddock. This is the warfare hour, and you already know that because you're here, failure is no longer an option. Why is failure no longer an option? Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because that's what the Word of God says. Why is failure not an option? Because with God, with man, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. And because we are the children of the Most High God, all things are possible. That's what the Word of God says. We believe that failure is not an option because we believe that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, him being God. He will lead, guide, and direct the path that we walk, because we believe that failure is not an option. We believe that the Lord is our shepherd, and we have no desire that shall not be fulfilled. That's why failure is not an option. Oh, well, I could go on and on and on and on and on, because God is so awesome. God is so awesome. He is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Failure can never be an option in the life of the believer, because the Word of God has proclaimed that because of the man who knew no sin, that became sin for us, we were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Christ became sin for us, even though he knew not what sin was. And we became the righteousness of God because he and his obedience greater than sacrifice. The obedience that Jesus Christ walked in was greater than even the sacrifice that he made unto death, even the death of the cross, which is why his name is greater than every name, which is why at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whether you be in heaven, in the earth, or underneath the earth, you will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is why failure is not an option. We thank God for you being here tonight. And now I hand it to Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson.
Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We give honor and glory to you, our Father, our brother, our friend, for allowing us to breathe in that breath of life that you gave us from the dawn of time. Thank you once more and again for choosing us to be in your kingdom. Welcome, everyone, especially those of you that are listening in for the first time. This is the Warfare Hour. We're coming to you from the City of Glory, better known as the City of Gary, Indiana. And we represent the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International. We also represent Word to the World Ministries with some other friends that's been coming on and visiting us, Evangelist Anthony Mitchell, And we always want to give honor where honor is due, you know, and he comes in occasionally and he gives us what God has for us, and hopefully he'll sneak in on us tonight, amen. And my co-host, my son in the ministry, he's a co-laborer, and he helped begin the ministry of Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International, and he has his own ministry now. I'm very proud of him. Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, and he had a lovely wife and four kids, two girls and two boys, and two grandsons, and he's very, very happy. He's growing leaps and bounds. We're very proud of him, but we also want to give honor where honor is due, and we don't ever want to forget, first of all, the intercessors. Those of you that pray for us each and every day, you get on the podcast early in the morning. You know, you're on when everybody else is sleeping, and you're praying. You're commanding the morning, 5 a.m. every morning, 7 days a week. And you're praying for the ministries that are part of this ministry, and we are part of the Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters International. And we thank them, the Kingdom Builders and the Kingdom Daughters, for allowing us to come and continue to be and host the podcast each and every week at 8 o'clock, Central Standard Time, from here, the City of Glory. But we especially also want to shout out a few other names, Prophetess Teresa Dox and Evangelist Dana Hanna, along with all of the intercessors. God bless you. God keep you. And we're just so blessed that we have a covering here in this ministry. We're covered by none other than Apostle Lena Emmons, who is the overseer, the apostle, the friend, the brother, and the leader, the father of the hallelujah. Ooh, I just get busted up sometimes when I think about the young man. He's a year older than me, but you're talking about a father figure. He's the father of the Living Way Christian Center here in the City of Gary, 235 West 40th Avenue in the City of Glory. It's a lot going on, men and women of God, all across this country. God's been speaking, and folks ain't hearing. We got some stuff to talk about today, because we are here to do what the will of God is. The wind has been blowing all over the country. It's 10 degrees hotter than it's ever been in one-third of the country right now, and it's going to be hotter than that on tomorrow. It's been tornado and gale force winds with no tornadoes, 85 miles an hour, gusts of wind, tearing up trees, ripping off roofs from Kentucky all the way up to New York for the last 3 or 4 days. But folks still ain't getting it. They done passed a bill that allows for marriage of same sex. God is not pleased, men and women of God. I'm sorry. I didn't write it. But what I'm saying is, when our president can get on the air and congratulate the folks that started the legislation, we really need to be praying for our leaders, men and women of God. Let's pray for our leaders, because they're allowing some stuff to happen that's going to affect us all. So it's going to be the remnant, me and you, me and the women of God. It's going to be the remnant that's going to stand in the forefront, and that's going to tell you and the rest of the world what thus saith the Lord. We have to be bold in our speaking. We've got children that's tatted up from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. That has all kinds of piercing. We got cousins and spouses and friends We even got pastors that's tatted up and everything, you know, and they don't think there's anything wrong with it. But as you know, we've been talking about those things, the weapons of warfare, ever since we've been on the air, and we continue to do that on tonight. We ask that you would join in with us once more and again and pray. Pray for us as we go forth. Pray for us as we truly tend to give you what God has given us for you. Hallelujah. Now, as always, we always ask that you would repeat with us this prayer out of Psalms 119 and verse 18. And if you would, here we go. Open thou mine eyes,
open thou mine eyes,
that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Basically saying, Lord, I want to see what it is that you see. I want to hear what it is that you say. I want to know what it is I'm getting ready to study. And if we make you say, anytime during the podcast on the night, we've accomplished our goal. Our goal is just to give to you the unadulterated word of God, to back it up with scriptures, and to have you do your own research. You don't have to believe anything that we say. But we entreat you to do some searching, to do some studying. Ours is to plant and to water. God is the one that brings the increase. And when we make a mistake and when we say something that's a little to the left or to the right, sometimes it may be something that you just are uncomfortable with because maybe you haven't heard it before, or maybe we've been convinced, because I know I have, we've been convinced that what we heard was right. But God will always glorify the truth. And so we bless you for continuing to be with us each week. We magnify the name of Jesus Christ, and we say to you, pray that we give you what God has for you on tonight. God bless you and God keep you. We know, you know, we're going to have some prayer, and we're going to be listening to some good music tonight as well. Hallelujah. We're going to do whatever the Lord say do during this time that we're with you on tonight. Again, for those of you that's with us for the first time, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in with us. We pray that we be a blessing to you. Happy birthday to those of you that have birthdays. My sister-in-law out there, birthday is tonight. God bless you. And as well as others. And those of you that are bereaving, we pray with you. We are bearing the same sorrow that you are. But we're saying to you that we pray that God will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray that you will be uplifted and know that God is still in control. We want to tell you that you are not alone and that we mourn with you, that joy really does come in the morning. It really, truly does come in the morning. And that morning is the portion of your heart that allows it. So go ahead and weep. But be not weary in your well-doing, because in due season, you're going to receive what it is that God has for you if you faint not. God bless you and God keep you. We're going to turn it back over to the prophet because he got some good stuff for us. And we want to share with you what God has given us. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. God be glorified, be praised, be exalted here above us all. For you are good, and your mercy is everlasting, your truth endures to all generations. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the beginning of this message that the Lord has provided us, called the blessing of obedience. If you have been, if you were listening over the last 2 weeks, you'll know that we were in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 5. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. We got to Deuteronomy. The Lord said, that's where you won't stop for today. I'll bring you back at the appointed time. I want to talk tonight about the blessing of obedience. So let's go to Philippians. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2. But as you well know, if you've listened to us in time past, you know that's not the only place we're going to be tonight. That's just where we're going to start. So I want you to get out the pens, the pencils, the paper, notebooks, tablets, iPads, laptops, PCs, all that wonderful stuff that you use to notate, all that wonderful stuff you use to record the things that the Lord has shared with us to share with you. And I want you to intently hear God's word, not mine. For I take no glory in the words of the Lord, except the glory that it is God who has spoken, and not me. Philippians chapter 2, and then after Philippians 2, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 2. Verses 17 through 20. Let's go to Philippians first. Father, continue us in your grace. Continue us in your mercy. Continue us in your love. Speak to your people as only you can. For after we give this quick, we're going to give this lesson, and then we're going into prayer and fraternal and music, and, you know, we're just going to go the way the Lord says. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'm going to read out of the Amplified because there are so many nuggets of gold in the Amplified. My God. All right. Starting in verse 5 in the Amplified, the Bible says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. That's important. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be easily grasped or retained. That's important. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. That's important. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. That's important. And carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has exalted him, has highly exalted him, and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue frankly and openly confess. That's important. And acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said, I believe it was Luke 9:23, that we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily if we're to follow him. Take up your cross, another, take up your mantle, take up your purpose, take up your assignment, take up, walk in the obedience that you're supposed to walk in every single day if you're going to follow after the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was all about obedience, obedience to God the Father. He was about obedience to God the Father. It was real simple and real direct. Obey God. Obey the Father. If you look at his conversation with his disciples in chapters 14 through 16 of the recorded life of Christ, or as we would call it, the gospel according to John, you'll see how he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience will cause me to dwell with you, cause my Father, me and the Father to dwell with you. It's all about being obedient, not fearing what's to come. If you stay in the mind of obedience to God the Father, you have nothing to fear, not even fear. You know, there was this old saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, if you're in Christ, you don't even have fear to fear, because perfect love casts out fear. And because God is love and love is of God, God is that perfect love that casts out fear. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, fear is not something we should fear. Too many times we worry about worry. We're scared of being scared. We're scared of fear. We're scared of all of this stuff. But we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. But he has called us to obedience. And if you operate in the obedience of God, in the obedience of his text, if you operate the way Christ did, let this mind be in you. If you operate in the obedience, in other words, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the knowledge of Jesus the Christ. That is obedience of Jesus the Christ. Do you understand? Until you operate in obedience, the blessing of obedience is that every single thing that God has desired for you to have will be open to you. Why am I saying that? Because he said in his word, if you love him, keep his commandments. If you love him, be obedient. If you love him, them that love me, obey me. That's what the word said. So if I'm not walking in obedience, I'm not walking in the love of God. If I walk anti obedience, I'm walking anti Christ. And if I walk in anti Christ, I'm walking in witchcraft, because rebellion is as witchcraft. You don't believe me? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. Oh, I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna back it up. Word, because I don't have any more leisure time to just tell you a bunch of cute little children's stories and make you and have you think that that's where the Bible is. No, God demands, not only demands, but commands obedience. Obedience. So much so that even in his earthly form, God walked in obedience. Jesus Christ walked in obedience to the Father. He didn't want to go to the cross. That ain't something I heard. That ain't something somebody told me. That's what I saw in the Word. He didn't want to go to the cross. but because of his undying love for his father, he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will, your will, be done. God, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There's a lot of things out there, men and women of God, brothers and sisters in this Christ walk. There are a lot of things that we don't want to do that require the obedience, that require utter obedience, utter faithful obedience. See, obedience to God is faith. And you don't believe me when I say that, but I show you in the Word where Abraham, obedience rose from faith. Where Moses' obedience rose from faith. So all the people I talk about, I can name in the Word of God that were faithful. But I can sum it up with saying that without faith it's impossible to please God. And how can you operate in faith if you don't obey God? Obedience is the operation of faith. And without it, it's impossible for God to be pleased with your life. How does this relate to warfare? Simple. The devil's whole position is for you not to obey God. He don't care if you obey him. He just don't want you to obey God. Matter of fact, that's going to get too deep. He just don't want you to.
We
got to crawl into that one. Okay. Okay. There was a Satanist by the name of Aleister Crowley who wrote.
You didn't
went there. Hey, I'm just saying. Look him up. Aleister Crowley. Look him up. He was the progenitor of the. Do as thou wilt, which is in the devil's Bible. Y'all said y'all want to know. Y'all tuned in to the warfare hour, so I'm going to give you the keys to victory.
Amen.
The devil had a Bible, and in that Bible he said the whole key to operating in his style of life is just do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. There is no need for obedience. Do what you want to do. It's up to you what you want to live the way you want to live. And it's a whole lot of people out here that live by that credo. Live by that creed. But God, our Father, our Creator, has stated, do what I want you to do. That's how you become blessed. There's a whole lot of people operating in Satanism and don't even really know that they're operating in Satanism. Because Satanism is about being Antichrist. What do you mean about being Antichrist? I thought Antichrist was this person that was coming in the near future. No, Antichrist is here. The Bible says that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And if you don't believe me, the Bible clearly says rebellion is as witchcraft. Rebellion against God is Antichrist. Apostle.
Go ahead and men and women of God, this is rich tonight. This is rich. You know, I didn't know where the man of God was going to go. I know he looked at me kind of crazy and told me to go ahead on and speak the word. But when I got to talking about how people are doing what they want to do, that's really what it's about. See, we always want to do. Give you some practical, some spiritual to deal with what's happening with us on the practical every day. When he went to Luke, the ninth chapter, he said that it says, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, verse 23 and verse 24, it says, and he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, this is Jesus talking, let him deny himself, which is to disown himself, forget and lose sight of himself and his own interests. Refuse and give up himself. And take up his cross daily, 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 daily. and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, which is who? Christ Jesus of Nazareth. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. Verse 24, for whosoever would preserve his life and save it will lose. Let me go back over that. This is key.
Yeah, yeah.
Verse 24, for whoever would preserve his life and save it will lose and destroy it. That is his life. But whosoever loses his life for my sake, he will preserve and save it from the penalty of the eternal death. Men and women of God, let me tell you something. See, there's stuff all around us. I met a friend, and I'm gonna do 25, but I got to tell this. I saw a friend that I grew up with from kindergarten, and we graduated in 1972. And I saw her today, and she said, "Hey, Carter, how you doing? You still look the same. Here, let me give you a check. You know I've been a witness for da 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 da." I just looked at her. I said, "Hallelujah." She looked at me. I said, "Baby, I can't take this from you. See, you know I've been preaching for some time." She said, "Oh." See, you got to let people know what you stand for.
Yeah.
See, folks, they ain't got no problem telling you what they stand for. Just look at their face. They probably got a nose earring in, a lip earring in, 6-7 earrings in their ear, 7 or 8 tats, you know. We'll cuss any around you and anybody else. So don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know what, all that have repented of those things, God bless you. But see, we all done did some stuff. We all done put ourselves out there that we're going to do out there. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Because you can't tell me who decided to. See, I know all them stuff. See, I was out there for real, y'all. Yeah, I was out there. I did some of everything. And I knew all the songs. I was drugging and drinking, staying up all night. That's why I can't hardly sleep now. My body got used to that. But see, I flipped the script over. See, he tried to kill me back in 1994, and I said I refused to die. So now he's trying to kill me now. He's trying to kill me now. See, if the enemy don't know you by name, you a sellout. Ooh, I didn't say that. Ooh, ooh. I'm sorry, y'all. No, I ain't. You know what a sellout is? Somebody that ain't following Christ. See, because it says here, now I didn't write it. Now, I just read it to you before I said it. Now, earlier, I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I don't really want to." But you know what? When our leaders are in a position to affect any and everybody, and they say and do anything that they want to say, and we don't say anything about it, we're not putting our voice over the four winds. See, the scriptures say that everything is voice activated. That means the walls, the mountains, the air, the airplanes, the airfields, the guns, the bullets, all of that stuff is voice activated. You can, you know, I don't know if you saw the movie The Matrix, but if you saw any of you that's really into that kind of movie, in this particular movie, it basically was saying that you can, when you know what's going on, you can control everything. And that's what the Bible is telling us. If you got Christ in your life, you can control everything. You can stop bullets. You can stop death, the death that we know. You can stop... Oh, yeah, Apostle, right. So if a guy come up to you with an AK and put it up to your head, you going to just, oh, you know what? Hey, don't get me wrong. I ain't stupid. Initially, there's going to be some kind of fear that's going to come to me. But immediately, just like Jesus said, nevertheless, let your will, not my will, be done. See, maybe you ain't had your house shot up. I have. See, maybe you never had a weapon up to your head. I have. Okay? I was so afraid at 18 when I left the city of Glory, better known as Gary, Indiana, when the gang called the Family was running through here like mad, killing everybody. They were shooting everywhere, and we had to duck and roll every night until the shooting stopped. I said, hey, I might as well go to the service. At least they're going to give me a weapon. But see, now I carry a different weapon. I carry the weapon of warfare for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I carry the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. I carry communion. I carry what I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Yeah. I carry prayer. You know, I carry praise and worship. Those are my weapons. Mm-hmm. See, I don't carry no Uzi. Those are my Uzis.
Woo!
See, so we're trying to equip you with some AK-77s and 97s instead of 47s. You got angels that are designed, you know, you're talking about the mob and the mafia. And no, we got giant angels with flaming swords of fire. And guess what? The enemy sees them all around us. So what we've been sharing with you, especially in the month of May, was know who your angels are. Start looking for your angels.
Right.
See, God told us back in go back to your first love. Your first love was when you knew no fear. And that was when you was a baby. Remember, you know, you weren't scared of nothing. You had mom and them, dad and them. You weren't worried about if somebody looked crazy to you, you started crying and mom and them came to the rescue. Look, y'all, guess what? Dad and them still in the coming to the rescue business. He created a whole category of beings to come to our rescue, and we too crazy. We too crazy to call on them and to even recognize them when they're in the room with us. Because we have not been taught. But you've been taught here.
Hallelujah.
You're going to get taught here if you, he that has the ear, if you don't believe me, go to Revelation chapter 2, all the way through Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and then Revelation chapter 4. And it said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. We are the churches. Why? Because there's more than one of us. Let me slow down a little bit. Turn it back over to the prophet. But I do want to say this to you. The blessings of obedience through the scriptures that have been presented to you, you need to really kind of get into that because all of the things that we use every week all key around root scriptures. And each root scripture has many other roots that are attached to it. And that's why you'll find yourself with 8 or 9 scriptures going with one scripture. And as we share with you, we encourage you to do some study and some searching. Show yourself, present yourself, avail yourself, make yourself display publicly, prove and establish and demonstrate yourself. That's what showing yourself, you know, it says study to show yourself approved. Approved unto God is authorized and received or called or sent. You're being used, judged favorably to be spoken of or thought of favorably. You are confirmed and sanctioned when you are approved. A workman is a servant. See, let me tell y'all something. You need to get back into servitude. Too many of us don't want to be servants. We want to be served. We don't want to serve. We want to be served. But to be a servant is to be a son, a S-O-N, or a daughter, a follower, a disciple, or a craftsman. You know, when you hear about craftsmen, they are skilled in the work that they do. Hallelujah. Okay, need not to be ashamed. Is that meaning that you're not going to be afraid? You're going to be fearless. You're going to be bold. You're going to be direct in all that you say and do. Rightly means to righteously in God's way, lovingly and fairly and justifyingly in the same and proper manner that God would. Do what? Deal with the truth. The truth is nothing but the word of God. Remember we was talking earlier about what's going on in the world. Listen, we always share with you what's happening. They did this last night, which is perfect because I need to talk about it today. I'm putting it over the airways, the four winds. I, who God has ordained to speak his word after praying, fasting, do hereby declare and decree that we do not agree with no same-sex marriage.
Right.
Because there's nowhere written in the scriptures other than that it's an abomination. We didn't write it, but the word of God said it, and I believe it, therefore it is justified. Listen, the truth of the word of God is the word that is stated. It is a light, and it is life. It is a matter of verifiable fact. He made, there's not two men on the earth that can create. He has ordained a male and a female to create. You cannot, okay, men and women of God, okay, let's talk about some science real quick. You say, oh, yeah, we can clone now. No, you can't. Where are you going to get the DNA from? Did you create the DNA? If you ain't create the DNA, you ain't doing nothing but what the enemy does. You copying. Yeah, but copying it from what? From something that you didn't, you're not creating, you're copying. So, men and women of God, let's stop being original.
That's right.
Instead of being copy. If you're going to be a copy, be a copy of the original. See, the enemy has taken everything that God did and he turned it backwards. He copied it to a T backwards. And that's why it seems and sounds and feels so right. You know why? Because we see through the iris and it interpolates and recorrects an upside down figure into a right side up figure. So really the right side is seeing the left side is seeing the right side. Not the correct side and the wrong side. But what has happened is the enemy has extrapolated and has put things out there for you to see that left side of your right hand and that right side of your left hand and tell you that that's the true side. That don't mean because you're left-handed that that's the wrong side or if you're right-handed that's the wrong side. It means that there's two sides. One side is going to always be stronger than the other side. It's up to you to choose which side you're going to be on. Now, what we just read, there are penalties. We've been all in Deuteronomy. And we, on the last few weeks, we talked about verses 1, chapter 28, verse 1 through 14, talks about the blessings. But whoa, verse 15 through like 54. It's about curses. Why are there more curses than there are blessings? Because there's so many other things you can get involved in that's ungodly. God said, seek first. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, and we're going to give it to back to the prophet. He's going to read that and interpret from the Amplified, because it's real key here. But as we were saying, don't allow the enemy to allow us to fall for the okey-doke. Oh, it's okay. He the president, man. You know, he can't think like us. Why can't he? He got advice. He got the best, supposedly the best advisors in the world. Who the hell, excuse me, who in hell, not
who from hell is telling the most one of the most powerful men on the earth that it's okay for two hard-headed men to get married and two women to get married, and that that's going to replace, and it's okay to be, Lord have mercy. We need to pray for our leaders, men and women of God. You either believe what the word of God say or you don't. See, you have to stand for what's right or you don't stand for nothing. Now, the thing is, you know, we want to be politically correct all the time. We want to, well, you know, you ain't supposed to judge. Okay. The devil is a liar. Because I see some scriptures where it clearly, because we've not been judging, this world is in the tip that it's in right now. We have an obligation to be to take dominion over the earth. And until we do that, men and women of God, and, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be the remnant. But if the remnant don't stand up, it's not going to get done. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we continue on. Matthew. After we go to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 2. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his being God, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Why you worry about tomorrow when tomorrow ain't here yet? Tomorrow ain't even promised to you. You only promised to breathe as long as God says you can breathe. After that, the rest will deal with the rest. So, because Apostle said something very, very key to confirm what the Lord had given about, you know, people just like to do what they want to do, and even government officials are doing what they want to do because they figure they got the power to do it. Well, you really ain't got power beyond God, but, you know, that's just what I read in the Word. Can I read this to you and we talk about this for a couple of seconds?
All right.
Galatians, 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 Galatians. You know, some people say Galatians. Galatians, chapter 2, verses 17. No, 16. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, it says, knowing that a man, in chapter 2 of Galatians, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Let me try this again. I'm going to do an amplified this time. Yet we know that a man is justified or reckoned righteous and in right standing with God, not by works of the law, but only through faith and absolute reliance on and adherence to and trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Therefore, even we ourselves have believed on Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, for we cannot be justified by any observance of the ritual of the law given by Moses. Because by keeping legal rituals and by works, no human
being can ever be justified, declared righteous, and put in right standing with God. That's important. But if in our desire and endeavor to be justified in Christ, to be declared righteous and put in right standing with God wholly and solely through Christ, we have shown ourselves sinners also and convicted of sin, does that make Christ a minister, a party, or contributor to our sin? Banish the thought. Of course not. God forbid, as the King James would say. For if I or any others who have taught that the observance of the law of Moses is not essential to being justified by God should now by word or practice teach or intimate that it is essential to build up again what I tore down, I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, have in Christ's death for me myself died to the law and all the law's demands upon me, so that I may henceforth live to and for God. I have been, and I got to read this in the King James because it's just so poignant. I am crucified with Christ. Verse 20, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why did I just read all that? I'll tell you why.
I'm glad you asked.
People, we live in a time and in a society where everybody is on the do as thou wilt, do what thou wilt, and stay on that Crowleyism. I'm gonna do, you know, I'm gonna do what I do. I'm gonna look. There's a song, and don't think I wasn't out there just because y'all, you know, just because I'm a little younger. No, I ain't been nowhere. They had this song back in the day that's kind of like, you know, how the Bible says nothing new under the sun, right? You know, the Isaac Brothers said it's your thing. Well, there was this rapper who brought it up to a more modern time and said, "You just do you, I'ma do me." Okay. Do what you want to do. Do as thou wilt. You do you. I'm going to do me. Well, my issue, problem, whatever word you want to use to say that I'm opposed to this way of thinking, is that the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live, ain't that what the word says? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that we will be conformed to the image of the Son of God, that he might be firstborn among many brothers, or of many brothers. We'll be conformed to the image of the Son of God. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you are in God, that I'm going to do me stuff don't work. I'm just saying.
You can't just go to 8. Because, I mean, it's so key.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I'm about to let Apostle go to 12. But Romans chapter 8 is so key to who we are as a believer. We have to understand. We start at verse 26. Verse 26 is for we know. Well, actually says, and we know. That all things work together for good to them who love God.
And
let's stop there for a hot second. Now, what do we say? If you love God, you keep his commandments, right? You obey God if you love God. So all things work together for you because you obey God. That's the way you show your love. You're showing the love because you're obedient to him. To them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So even the purpose that you have on this earth ain't yours. Why am I going here? Because there's a group of people out in the world that say they've become righteous because they found knowledge of self. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not afraid to say who they are, but the question is, do inquiring minds want to know who they are? Now, am I going to put somebody on blast trying to downtrod them? No, I'm not doing that because I love the Lord. And because I love the Lord, I respect everybody. But that don't mean I agree with it, with what they're saying. And they may not agree with the fact that I live for the Lord, and I don't agree with the fact they live for themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They got a whole musical genre to themselves. It's called hip-hop. Uh-oh. That was this song. It was a song, and I remember this one particular part of the song because when I found out about this part of the song, I was like, "Oh wow!" And I found myself never being able to say to deal with this song again. And there's a reason behind that. Okay, there's this group of Muslims who call themselves 5 percenters. Now, these 5 percenters are claiming themselves to be the 5% of the earth nation who have knowledge of self, who they know who they are, and they're willing to share that knowledge with everybody else because the other 85% of the world who doesn't know needs to know. And then there's 10% of the world who does know, but they're not willing to share. Now, that's supposed to be people like us, believers, Christians. They call us part of the 10% who know, but don't want to share. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that I'm part of the 5% apparently that want to share because I be sharing every Thursday. But here's why I say what I just said. I'm part of that side of it. Because I found out, I came to the knowledge of myself. I found out that myself is raggedy. I found out that my righteousness is a filthy rag.
All right.
And I found out that I am only righteous because Jesus Christ has given me the opportunity to be righteous. I'm only righteous through him. Because the Bible says, if I'm speaking, it's in Romans. It's in Romans. I think it's. I'm not gonna say I remember exactly where it is, but I'm gonna tell you. It's in Romans that the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Him being Christ. That's what the Bible said. That's the scripture. It's verse 21 of this chapter. I'm trying to, and it escapes me at the moment. But what I'm saying that for is that, ladies and gentlemen, just do it for yourself. Mindset has got to go. This I found knowledge of self. You in yourself are nothing. You can't even be righteous without Christ. Because true righteousness is having a right relationship, right standing relationship with God the Father. And you are literally not able to have a right relationship with God the Father without Christ. I'm just saying. It's a scary, scary, scary thought. Scary, scary thought. When I start thinking about people who only obey themselves, they don't obey the law of God, which is obedience. Obedience to the law of God, which is that Ten Commandment law. Am I going too far? Am I going too far?
I swear.
So I'm about to go. I'm about to give this to Apostle because chapter 12 is about to be serious, friend. I think this. I think chapter 12. Matter of fact, chapter 12 gonna bring it home. Then we're gonna play the song to go on out. Okay. Okay, Apostle.
Amen. Hallelujah. It is our desire, it is our wish, it is our thought, it is our pattern that we present you with tools and weapons to fight the enemy. But you need to know who the enemy is. You need to know how he's coming at you. You need to know what to do when you confront him with it. One weapon is worship. Worship is one of the greatest weapons of warfare. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through verse, where we're just going to read a little bit. Close your eyes, please, and just hear what I'm going to say. Chew on these words. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, I pray that your eyes are closed. And I beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Wow. Did you know that your body as sacrificed as a spiritual worship? That's just all in verse 1. Verse 2 says, do not, I pray that you still have your eyes closed, do not be conformed to this world. And we've been talking about conformity to the world. This age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. For you. I'm going to stop right there. You can open your eyes. I hope you heard what I had to say. I hope that those words have penetrated your mind, soul, and spirit, your intellect. I pray that you understand that you are the one that's in control. Not anyone else. Failure is not an option.
Because for our sake, God made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him, we, him being Christ, we might become endued with, viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable in and in right relationship with him by his goodness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So that passage begins this way. Therefore, if any man, if any person, is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah. He is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. We're going to get into the next, we're going to get into that next time. We're going to get into that next time. We thank God for you being with us tonight. We Second Corinthians 5. That's where the scripture was. Just spoke that. Second Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21, really get into understanding the freedom that we have because of Christ, the freedom from sin and the freedom in righteousness that we have because of Christ. And I thank God that it's because of God who speaks those things that be not as though they were. Not us speaking those things, but it's God who calls those things that be not as though they were. At least that's what the Bible says. We don't want to get too, you know, I know we walk in the faith and we say, you know, speak those things. To a degree, you can speak those things because the Bible says you can have what you say. But it's God who calls those things that be not as though they were. It's not until you agree with him that those things that be not manifest themselves to you. We thank God. We thank God. I don't want to get off to too many tangents. And we just want to end with some worship. I don't want to get off into another tangent. We're working on the blessing of obedience, and that's what we're going to say, the blessing of obedience. And in that, whenever we decide to pray and think, we want to make sure that, you know, those seven revelations or seven steps, seven levels of prayer, that we get to a place where adoration is key, because it helps in the understanding, but it helps in the deepening of your relationship with the Father. You know, I mean, yes, we're talking, you know, we know that confession is first. We know that supplication is second. Adoration is third. So the next thing you get to adoration is you can prepare yourself for intercession. So first you got to confess, because you can't ask for anything until you've confessed. That's why confession is first. Supplication, with all prayer and supplication, making your request known unto God. That's what the Bible says. You cannot do that until you have confessed. You've got to get things off your chest, and you've got to confess to the goodness of the Lord Jesus, to the goodness of God the Father. Adoration is third, and that's the preparation for intercession. And intercession is the doorway to intimacy. And intimacy. Once you've been intimate with God, you've got to thank him for allowing you in. And what better way to thank God than just to go into praying? Those are the steps, the levels, the keys, whatever you want to call it, to prayer. Hear me. I have truly enjoyed sharing with you tonight, and I want to end in worship and end in adoration. So if you will oblige me this one, I want to end with this song. Thank you. And honor, O God, glory and power, O God, belong to you forever. That's where we are. Blessing and honor belong to God. Glory and power belong to God. Dominion belongs to God. Apostle, have any closing remarks?
Hallelujah. We give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
We once more and again thank those that made it possible for us to be on tonight. And every Thursday night. But most of all, we thank you for tuning in, for being with us, for listening to us, enduring with us, sharing with us. We're hosting the show for the next few weeks, so you won't be able to give us feedback other than by contacting us on Facebook. And, you know, writing us a little note, letting us know where you stand and what it is that you had to do to hear, how it affected you. You know, did it make you want to do some studying? Did it excite you? Did it ignite you? Or did you do what we always say to you, Selah? Did you pause? Did you ponder? Did you think on those things? That's all we want to do. Inquiring minds want to know. We're inquiring minds now. Give us some feedback. But more than anything, we want you to support the Kingdom Builders and the Kingdom Builders International for bringing us, as well as other men and women of God, to you. For they have your well-being, your thoughts, your mindset is what they're worried about. They're concerned that you get everything that God has for you. See, we've been duped in so many different ways because many of us spend more than 3 hours a day, which doesn't seem like it's a long time. But from the time you get off, if you have kids, you deal with the kids. If you have a spouse, you deal with your spouse. If you're the man or the woman and you're the one that does the cooking, you got to, you know, cook a meal, you got to eat, you got to relax. And most 90, well, a good percentage of us, our relaxation is sitting in front of a big screen, flat screen TV with surround sound system. That's for those of us that's been gadgeted a little bit and got a little bit of extra funds or go in the hock to get. And we sit up and probably got 718,000 DVDs that we are put in, got to have the greatest and the best of everything. We fight with everybody else in the family about what movie and what show is on because we want to see our show, whether it's sports, whether it's and men and women of God. I got to say this to you. Take a good look at what you look at on TV. If you into American Idols, if you into those things where somebody is voting for, take a good look at where you're at. Please, I entreat you. We don't want to get caught up with the world. But if Idol is in the name of the show, we shouldn't be dealing with it. I didn't write that neither. That's in the scriptures. God said that he, for us not to create any idols, but especially don't make none of him. And he's a jealous God. All through the ages, men and women, boys and girls, have worshipped other idols and put themselves in a position to turn away from those things. That's going to make it greater for them to receive the blessings of God. Why would you jeopardize receiving the blessings of God and put yourself in position to receive a curse that is not of God, that you must endure sometimes through two, three, four, even some through seven generations. Put yourself in a position to receive the blessings of God, not the curses or the wrath. Hallelujah. We love you, we adore you, we magnify the name of Jesus. Thank you for being with us. We're going to play one more song, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to get on out of here. Amen.
Amen. We're going to play one more song. Amen. We're going to play us one more song. And then we're going to pray briefly. We can do that. We can pray at the same time. We can do that. Hallelujah. Oh, we got 10 seconds. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be dominion, power, majesty, for both now and forever. In Jesus' name, God bless you and God keep you, is our prayer.